I tried. We'll do better next time. Els, thanks so much for holding down the fort. And Miles for being here now on the station that loves you, Kauai Community Radio, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA. Got to do a little station identification kind of stuff, as well as top of the hour mahalos and thanking the good people who support Kauai Community Radio. This is the Out of the Box show, late and out of the box. I am Laura Christine, your host. I've got an in the box in the booth co-host with me today. Where are you at there, brother Eric?
Aloha.
I think you're on mic one.
All right.
We're going to be talking about Go Farm and Go Farming and some upcoming trainings at Kauai Community College. But before we go there, I'm going to have council member Mason Chalk, who's waiting patiently, to chime in about some council business, the county manager and the proposal that the voters might be if you will, contemplating in the near future. So before we go any further, I want to let you know that
the views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Thank you, Don, for that. And I'm going to just say the out-of-the-box program you're listening to is made possible by the good folks at Kalaheo Chiropractic and Ching Young. We thank them for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Ching Young Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Ching Young, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
There we go. Talking about Laura Christine, Saturday nights with the Get Low Show. And brother Eric, you host the
So Shakedown Party
on Saturday nights from 8 to 10 o'clock. And big mahalos to Kalaheo Chiropractic and Ching Young for making this out of the box program possible, and with the support of listeners like you, members of Kauai Community Radio. And yeah, again, DJ Sheets and Els Bells, mahalos for holding down the fort. What a great show.
Beautiful show.
Dance hall style music, electro beats going down. We're going to break up the musical madness on a Thursday afternoon, kind of wet and wonderful, to talk story on our community radio. We've got about an hour and 45 minutes of community conversation happening. I'm going to bring up our first caller. Aloha, Councilmember Chalk, are you still there? Not yet. I got to do this. How about now? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Perfect. I'm hitting the right buttons. It's been a while since I've been in the booth by myself. I shouldn't say by myself. I got my brother Eric here with me. But Councilmember Chalk, thanks for joining me and listeners of Kauai Community Radio. I saw you the other night at the joint fact-finding group meeting, the public presentation, and asked you if you might have some time to talk story about an item on the council agenda. Oh, when was this? Maybe about 3 or 4 weeks back. It was the workshop that you guys did about the county manager proposal. So I thought you would be a great person to talk story about that and give us some details of where we're at with the proposal, or I don't even know what to call it. Is it a
yeah?
It's a proposal.
It's a charter amendment, actually.
Okay, so thanks for helping us understand this better.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, just to back up, I was a part of a subcommittee to kind of investigate and research aspects of the council manager system, started back last year. And we've been working hard on that, myself and subcommittee members, Punxiao and Kuali. And we've come up with some good information from the International City and County Managers Association. We've been presenting that. What happened as a result of that is, we had a few workshop meetings where those interested in seeing this discussion continue and the possibility of an actual charter amendment occurring have been, you know, meeting on it. So those include everyone except Councilmember Ross Kagawa. And so, you know, the discussion has been such that, you know, what is it going to take to to do it? What can we agree on? And basically, just because it's such a big change, is to look at, you know, if we were to consider it, what can we all decide that we want to see in such a proposal?
Mm-hmm.
We even looked at the possibility of submitting a new charter in its entirety. You know, this is new territory, new ground to cover. And, you know, what essentially where we are with the process is that we have agreed on really some broad, structural items. We know we want a mayor. We know we want the people to vote on the mayor. We know we want the mayor to sit with the council. We believe a mayor should serve as a chair with the council in order to build a more collaborative, not only environment, but decision-making process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So these are some of the things we're discussing, you know, how should we structure the county manager's position and so forth for the term, all the different items that come into this big structural change. And essentially what will happen is council chair proposal will be introducing an actual resolution for a charter amendment on this. And at that time, you know, we've come as far as we can. We're going to have to make some decisions around the table if we can get the support from, you know, enough people. We need 5 votes for a charter amendment to move through.
Uh-huh. Now, then it would be an actual charter amendment as opposed to not something that the voters would then decide.
Absolutely. It would then go onto the ballot for the voters to decide.
Oh, so they would decide, okay.
Yeah, on the actual amendment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that would include this change in the system.
Mm-hmm. Now, you'd mentioned, you know, that this is a pretty significant change in the structure. Can I just take you back to that that place where you introduced this if you will, proposed amendment to the charter? What precipitated that, or what was the catalyst for you to put that onto the table?
Sure. You know, it was a discussion that we've been having at the council. It's come up before, mm-hmm. previously, years back. The community has been talking about it. You know, what can we do to become more efficient in government?
Right.
How can we become more accountable? How can we become more transparent? You know, how can we eliminate some of the political environment that kind of dissects and excludes us from getting to the best solution?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is one of the systems that has been talked about over the years that has shown to you know, possibly make a difference. And there's some good research behind the system and how it works.
Go ahead. I was going to say, what would you say is the, if you will, the pros of the good reasons to keep the current system, and what are some of the good reasons to make the change? What in this process, if you could synthesize what you've heard from people and what resonates well with you or stands out as, here's a good reason why we want to change, or here's a good reason why we should keep things right the way they are.
Right. Well, you know, with the manager system, you have a body, a legislative body, that's separated by an administrative body, similar to what we have now, except in the current system, you kind of have two legislative bodies. You have the mayor's power to legislate, and then you have the council's ability to legislate.
Mm-hmm.
In the council manager system, basically you wouldn't have that. It would be all-inclusive legislative body working together to support the vision and the outcomes and goals of the county as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would have in place professional manager, someone that you hire that you have oversight over, meaning basically you can fire or hire that person that comes into the manager position.
Mm-hmm.
They administrate these goals and objectives that the council and mayor put together. And that's really the structure of the manager system in a nutshell. I mean, there's definitely pluses and minuses to both systems. It's really about what it is people work better. We know that there have been, you know, challenges, inefficiencies and capacity over the years. And so this may be part of the solution. And I just want to say also, you know, where this workshop with council members is right now, it's it will be introduced by Council Chair Raposo, and it doesn't mean it's going to pass. I mean,
right.
I think that there are still a lot of work and a lot of questions that need to be answered. We do have our next meeting scheduled. I think it's on April 29th, of which we'll actually see every, you know, charter amendment, because there'll be multiple amendments within this one charter amendment.
Now, when you say there'll be multiple charter amendments in the one charter amendment, because you have to change, if you will, language, you have to have the charter reflect the county manager as opposed to the status quo of having the mayor.
That's correct.
Is that why there would be charter? Okay. And again, like you're suggesting, and for listeners, we're on the air with Councilmember Mason Chalk, who is sharing information about a proposed amendment change to the charter to consider having a county manager system as opposed to our current strong mayor style of government. And so you're absolutely right. It's a big shift. And it doesn't mean that just because it goes onto the council agenda and Chair Raposo proposes it, that it's going to happen. He still needs to get, or the council needs to get, 5 votes is what you're suggesting is the number necessary to put it on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes
That's onto
correct. The ballot, and then it still needs to pass by a majority of the voters in that election.
That's correct.
Wow. And so, go ahead.
There's just a lot of, you know, we want to make sure that we introduce something that has every, you know, T crossed and I dotted. So, you know, there's a lot of work going into it right now. And it's really a timing issue, because you're running up against a deadline of, I think, June 9th
for
our final decision.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole lot of work to be done. And I know that members are concerned about the time. And so merely when it's not feeling comfortable that we have all the questions answered in order to move something forward, we may just have to say, hey, this is what we learned, and as far as we could get, and we're going to have to take it up, you know, in the future.
In the next election cycle.
Perhaps in the next election cycle.
Yeah. And I mean, Councilmember Chalk, there's been discussion about voting by district and districting. People have concerns in regards to making a shift. How would we do that? But is there any discussion at any level of looking at both those questions, if you will, simultaneously, so that we can take enough time to make a good decision?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's the kind of discussions we've been having in our workshop, are what are the best practices? You know, from ICMA standpoint, the guy that we've been looking at, you know, 4-year term on the council staggered,
mm-hmm.
is something that, is the best practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a thing called leadership memory that's important, and enable, you know, one of the things is to have, 4-year terms where people aren't running just on trying to, you know, get one issue out there or move quickly to trying to get something done in a 2-year period. Oftentimes we don't get what we want out of it. But it is one of the considerations that we're having around the table. You know, and you know, our charter commission is backed away from the districts and the terms. So it's something that may be taken up in what's presented by Council Chair.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what is your, I guess, kind of sense on the current administration support for this, or is there resistance? Is there kind of no, everything's good, we like the way it is? What is your read on things?
Yeah, my read is that, you know, change is hard for people,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and for good reason. I mean, this is not something to be taken lightly. Like I said, it's a big change. And if there are ways, you know, one good thing I just want to say, Jimmy, is this discussion in itself has brought to light the need for change to occur, you know, whatever form that is.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm talking about best practices and how we can implement them. And if it isn't a system change, and if we're not ready for the system change, then let's look at those best practices for us to be more efficient. And can we implement them in the current system? That is the question, I think, and the discussion that we've been having alongside opportunity to discuss the council manager system change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it's just, if you will, another example of when we're given time or pause to reflect, and intentionally kind of go through the process of self-examination or self-review, there's good work that could become of that.
Absolutely. That's my belief.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that you were willing to listen to folks who brought it to your attention, that it would be something to consider. And I'm definitely an advocate for considering that model, chiefly because I see things that don't seem to be working so well or just don't seem right in the current structure, and that there could be improvements made, whether it's how our, if you will, local administrator or local administration, the county mayor's office and the, if you will, government services that they provide, and the council that will either budget or the council that will ask for some kind of report or recommendations from that body. And the administration is, I don't want to say reluctant, but has difficulties bringing up that information in a timely fashion.
And I think you said it. Did it well.
So I appreciate your time with us, Councilmember Chalk. The budget process is going on right now. Any comments on that? Do you see some hard choices coming up, or what should residents be thinking about when the budget is coming down to that approval time?
Well, you know, I mean, it's one of the biggest kuleana that we have on an annual basis for this island and for the county. So it's the time of the year where we decide, you know, how are we going to maintain a budget, a balanced budget, a sustainable budget? Do we have to raise taxes in order to help with traffic and with the building of roads? So these are big decisions altogether, and we're right in the middle of budget. So by the end of April, you know, we'll have a clearer understanding of what we're playing with, what we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
And then council members and the mayor will have a chance to make cuts and additions if necessary.
And any suggestions or words of advice for residents who want to stay informed and provide input for this process?
Well, you know, every day we take public testimony first thing in the morning, I encourage everyone. I mean, this is our island, this is our community, and you know, we need input. We need to get your feedback. But I mean, it is a complex process, and so if anybody wants to talk to me, talk start, and hear at least my perspective, or any other council member's perspective and the mayor, reach out to them and say, this is what I'm experiencing in my life and what's important. You know, because we've got huge issues of housing. We've got huge issues of needing jobs. And I think people sit in traffic every day and are wondering what the hell's going on.
So, mm-hmm.
There you go.
Well, Councilmember Mason Chalk on the radio with us here in Out of the Box. Appreciate the time. If folks want to get in touch with you, how's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, My council email address is mchalk@oe.gov.
Terrific. And folks can get in touch with you, schedule some time to talk story and share their words of encouragement, advice, and concerns. Mason Chalk, council member, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And good luck with your afternoon meeting.
Okay. Mahalo.
Aloha.
Excuse me. Thanks for everything you do. Aloha.
Mm-hmm. Right on, Brother Eric. We are moving into the next phase of our program. I'm going to just do a little drop. We'll take a musical, what would we call this? If I get the right button at the right time. This is where it's always a challenge, because sometimes it just doesn't flow the way you want it to. So we'll go like this, play that, turn this up, and give you a little bit of love from the country.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried. The one and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my Mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried, Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied.
That leaves only me to blame, 'cause mama tried. Dear old daddy, rest his soul, left my mom a heavy load. She tried so very hard to fill his shoes, working hours without rest, wanted me to have the best. She tried to raise me right, but I refused. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but mama tried. Mama tried, mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause mama tried.
There we go, little Merle. Rest in peace. Long gone. Not too long, but died on his birthday yesterday. So we'll be hearing a little bit more Merle from today's show. I got a phone call I'm going to bring on up just like this, pressing the right button. Aloha, Stephen Chang. Are you there?
Hey, aloha.
Aloha. And we are speaking with Stephen Chang. I'm going to let you introduce yourself as the, if you will, go-to guy from Go Farm Hawaii. We have, if you will, your colleague Eric Hansen here in the booth. And I invited Eric to talk about a local program here on Kauai, and then thought, wow, if we could talk story about the statewide program, that would be huge. So, Stephen, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and the program that you are running.
Sure. So I'm in the director of Go Farm Hawaii statewide program, and Eric is the lead on our Kauai program. Right now, we also have programs on Maui and Leeward Oahu and Windward Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
And knock on wood, but you know, hopefully later this year we'll see the Big Island too.
Right on. And so, a statewide program for the purpose of?
Oh, I'm sorry. For beginning farmer training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a weird situation now where there's a lot of public awareness and support of agriculture, but there's a lack of farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, farming's hard. It takes a lot of things, including a lot of knowledge and experience. And so we've taken on the role to try to create new farmers out of folks who do have interest.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that, a little disclosure here, I am an employee of Kauai Community College and work in a program called Construction Academy. So it is a dual credit program for high school students to get involved in the trades at their high school and then be able to take the prerequisite and get right into the community college FANG facility engineering program if they so choose, or the carpentry program. So Eric and I have been talking about, wow, wouldn't it be great to have some type of program like that for farmers? And so maybe in the future we can continue that discussion of what that might look like and how we might be able to create and be creative and innovative in the ways that we're going to train future farmers or develop that interest in farming. And this is what has been impressive for me from what little I know about Go Farm is what you guys are doing on campus, on all the islands. Eric's kind of giggling, but I mean, I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing or trying to do, and just thankful that you were able to take some time to talk story about your program. How did it get started? How did you guys come up with this idea of a farmer training program, an incubation program wrapped up into one?
Right. So about 3.5 years ago now, I was and still am the director of a business consulting program out of UH that provides business consulting services to agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few things that were happening. We were noticing an increasing number of folks coming into our program looking to start up farming businesses who didn't really have any experience farming.
Mm-hmm.
And so we saw that trend. There were other beginning farmer training programs that were starting up, and because I guess we were the business experts, we'd be called in to help train for other programs. And, you know, we saw some gaps. One, the curriculum that these other programs had were not always, you know, based in science, more in practice. In some other cases, they would teach them in the classroom only and not have them farm. And we saw that as you know, a gap in what we thought people needed to know to actually make the transition to become a farmer. And so a bunch of us got together, both at the university, university system, really, across the state, and including some big landowners, and we decided, you know, a program like Go Farm Hawaii was needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and based on the demand we've seen so far, I mean, I think we were spot on. There's a lot of interest.
Right. I mean, and like you said, there were some trends happening as well as folks, like you said, wanting to get back to the land.
Mm-hmm.
And see the value of a lifestyle that says, hey, I would like to produce food for my family, excess I'd like to sell, I'd like to not live in the urban setting but in a country setting. How in some ways has that been helpful and then also maybe not so beneficial for agriculture in the state of Hawaii?
Well, that's an interesting question because it really is different now. You know, there's an unprecedented amount of interest in agriculture now, and I make that claim, not that in the sense that not that agriculture has not been more popular in the past in terms of number of people participating in the industry, but just in terms of the level of interest in agriculture itself, like you know, for the reasons you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
to serve the community, for the environment, and so forth. But what we have is this gap of knowledge where traditionally, you know, farmers would discourage their children from getting into agriculture. So there's almost a generational gap where we have that interest now, but we don't have that fundamental base of knowledge and exposure to
yeah.
agriculture. So there's a lot of folks that would like to get into it, but really don't know where to start and don't have the basis of knowledge and experience that hopefully GoFarm can provide.
Mm-hmm. Eric, you got something you'd like to share?
Coming up Wednesday, April 20th, will be our Ag Curious Seminar. So Stephen's been talking a lot about some of the nuances of GoFarm, and if any of you really got your ears sparked and your fingers ready to get dirty in the ground, you should come check out our free seminar, which is going to be over at KCC, talking a little bit more about the GoFarm program. So if you are feeling ag-curious, come check us out. You can hear from it's a free info session about the program, so you can learn more about the program. You can come here from some of Kauai's premier farmers, talk story about you know, their startup experiences, challenges, benefits, lifestyles. You can kind of get a better overview of the industry of farming here on Kauai and in Hawaii in general. You know, for those who are really kind of curious about what it takes to be a farmer, this info session will kind of give you more of a sense of what it takes to be involved in farming, you know, the challenges, the opportunities, benefits, the cost. If you're really interested in joining our farm training program, this is definitely a time to come to the information session, as this will be the time to register for our Go Farm program that's coming up in the spring. The Go Farm program is really great. We have two different components that we work on for Go Farm, and the first component is known as what we call ag exposure. So,
what is that ag exposure all about?
Ag exposure is all about exposing the ag curious into all the different nuances of farming. So,
is that when they do, if you will, field trips out to?
Yes, field trip farm? Time. It's good. Who doesn't love a field trip? I tell you, I do. And
I want to ride in the back of the bus.
How about in the back of the tractor?
Oh, there we go.
Oh my goodness. So
you go out and visit local farmers.
We don't just visit local farmers. We actually work with local farmers.
Mm,
so
nice.
One of the advantages of the ag exposure tours. Around the island is that we expose those who are interested in farming to different farming styles, different farming ecosystems, climates, mm-hmm. So that you really get a well-rounded sense of the industry in Hawaii of what is possible and what you can do instead of just thinking of farming as one type of style of, oh, I'm just going to grow lettuce. There's many different styles. We have, you know, dairy farmers on this island. We have people who use aquaponics and don't even actually get their hands dirty at all. We have tree farmers that grow fruits. We got worm farmers. We got ranchers.
Hey, what about those honey producers?
Oh, the sweet, sweet honey producers. The possibilities are limitless. And so that is one of the strengths of the Go Farm program mm-hmm. is that we try to show you all the different possibilities that are out there. So from May 14th through June 4th, every Saturday and Sunday, we're going to be going around the island and learning and working with other farmers. How exciting. I tell you, it's always probably one of the biggest highlights of the program is those who come out from this experience get to build a network of people they can consult with later. So I think that's one of the things that I've always heard from my students in the past is that, oh, we're building up our card catalog of people we can go check in with, mm-hmm. our network team. So I've had students in the past go back to, you know, Uncle Jerry guys and be like, oh, Uncle Jerry, I need help with this. And I remember you was telling me this and, oh, what was? And it's really amazing how responsive, you know, these farmers are to our young beginning farmers and helping out like that. So that's one of the beautiful things. And then on top of that, we have the ag school portion of Go Farm, which twice a week we meet, once a week on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. We do our in-the-classroom talk story lecture session where we really get down to the nitty-gritty of what Stephen was talking about, the scientific applications and the business applications of agriculture. And we have many different guest speakers come in talking about a range of topics.
Give me an example of some of those guests, like what topics. I sat in on one of your classes, and you had a soil scientist from the Big Island, if I'm
right.
Right. I was just kind
so
of
so we had for example, if you want to know about soils, we have the people that come teach you about soils. In the past, we've had Patrick Niemeyer, who is the lead soil scientist from the Big Island, that I actually was had the pleasure of working with for a few years. He was a great mentor of mine. We've had Earl Kashiwagi from Isaki's Produce come in and talk about, you know, marketing. So if you want to learn, you know, about marketing on Kauai and food production and distribution, why not go to the source? So a lot of the teaching that we I guess would go by, if you will, is kind of the nana ike kikumu, to look towards the source. So mm-hmm. we get the best of the best in there, and we always strive to have the experts on island so that, you know, again, when students come out of the program, they have more resources to look for and not just feel like they walk away empty-handed. And it's one of the most beautiful things is finding out everyone that you can work with. So if, you know, you have problems with, fruit tree propagation, fruit trees and nut propagation, you know, you can go check in later with our resident experts that we bring in. You know, if you want to know about plant pathogens and you forgot about something like that, we'll hook you up with the expert on island, and so on and so forth. So that's one of the beauties of the ag school program. So we have experts come in, talk about different topics that are relevant to both the science and business of agriculture. And then on Saturdays is when we all get out in the field and get our hands dirty, and we put the application of the knowledge that we're gaining in the classroom out into the field. So each student is given their own individual farm plot where they develop their own crop plan and business plan, and we at Go Farm provide the technical support to allow you to thrive, and the skill sets, and the tools, and the seeds, and the land, and the water, and everything else you need to run a successful farm operation. So over a 4-month period, you get to learn how to, what it takes to grow a variety of different crops, and to figure out what it takes to be a farmer. So the knowledge that you get out of the Go Farm program can be applied to production agriculture, whether that's production agriculture in your backyard for your family, production agriculture on your lanai to just feed yourself supplementally, production agriculture on 2 or 3 acres to go, you know, supplement your income, or to, you know, go big and go huge and feed yourself and your family, and provide financial
income.
Yeah. So no matter how big or how small that you're gonna go with your farming endeavors, everything that you get out of Go Farm will benefit you for a lifetime, and not just you, but your ohana and all everyone that you run into in your life, because you know, all my previous students have just said, "Oh, how life changing it has been to, you know, come from a state of being an ag curious person to being an ag producer."
An ag producer. There we go. That was Eric Hansen from Go Farm, who has a program. We'll talk more about the specifics of how you might be able to join the Ag Curious and the Ag. Be Ag Exposed. We also are joined on the phone. Stephen Chang, are you on Oahu right now? Are you on the Big Island?
Yeah, I'm on Oahu.
On Oahu.
I'm actually sitting at the College of Tropical Ag and Human Resources on the Manoa campus.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
But a lot of folks call CTAR, and nobody really understands. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, CTAR?
Yeah.
Now, how did you get into, do you have a farming background? Did you come into this from your family farmed, or what spurred you? What was your ag exposure?
I totally come from the business side.
Mm-hmm.
I was a management consultant with a large firm, and was invited to come and join a program called the Agribusiness Incubator Program, and that's the business consulting program I touched on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we started to see some of these folks come in, you know, without the farming experience. Interestingly enough, people would call our office asking what classes they could take at the college in order to learn how to farm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd have to tell them, well, we certainly teach a lot of things that help you become a successful farmer, but we don't actually teach people how to farm, and,
right,
and that was one of the inspirations for Go Farm.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about the genesis of Go Farm. How did that come into play? Was this a part of the farm bill? Was this something that a group of you guys sat down and said, God, we got a problem solved?
Yeah, really it was just a bunch of motivated folks working together.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, the story behind the creation of Go Farm was actually very interesting because, you know, we had identified the problem. We actually took a bunch of us up to the northeast United States.
Okay.
And I didn't expect that, but when we did a nationwide survey, we realized that up in the northeast, like Vermont and New Hampshire and places like that, their farming was more analogous to what's happening in Hawaii than places like California. You know, California's huge ag.
Right.
Up
big monoculture.
Family farms.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of mature farmer training programs. And so we took a tour up there, came back inspired and with a lot of information. And we kicked it off, if I'm not mistaken, in the fall of 2012.
Okay.
We basically had our first Ag Curious. We created a GoFarmHawaii.org website. I took out my credit card because I didn't want to go through the university system and wait for all of those approvals. And we just bought the domain name and off we went. You know, we had enough expertise here at the college and based upon what we saw at other programs to put the curriculum together. And, you know, it's evolved since then and it's gotten better and better. But now, you know, I'm really proud of where it's come and how it's grown.
Mm-hmm.
What it's done for the folks who have interest.
And I remember seeing an article on your program I'm thinking, I wish it was either an in-flight magazine, or maybe it could have been a national publication, and it had what caught me was the if you will, the poly in on the Waimanalo side of mm-hmm. Oahu, and
right.
I've been involved in some discussions at our campus to try to look at ways to replicate the Construction Academy model and develop an Ag Academy model.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, wow, this is a program kind of like what I'm thinking would be great for our island is to have a farmer training program specific. It's one of the things that at the college, Eric and I talk a little bit about. How do we teach guys to run a tractor? How to use the implements? What are the, if you will, hands-on hard skills? You know, not so much on the theory, but the practicality of here's the nuts and bolts of how you get this, you know, machinery to work for you.
Right. I mean, in construction, I imagine, as well as farming, you know, there's a lot of things that you do that involve physical skills.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes, you know, where we have part as part of our curriculum, you know, the students have to farm their own plot, right?
Right.
Personal accountability. If they don't put in the time and effort in there, you know, it shows. But there's also the theory that goes behind it that helps them troubleshoot and so forth. And so it's that combination, I think, that ultimately gives people confidence to go ahead and take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stephen, I think that's really well said, is that what I've experienced with my former students on Kauai is that they keep on saying, yeah, I feel so much more confident and what I can do, you know, and, you know, it's a scary thing to go out there and just be like, okay, I'm going to do this. I have no idea what I'm going to do. And, you know, if you're going to do that, typically that's where you don't really succeed in the long term and you give up. But I think, you know, if you feel that confidence within your soul like that, you really are able to thrive in what you'd like to do. And, yeah, I think that's just really well said that, confidence is what comes out of this program for people, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Very well said, yeah.
There's an interesting curve that happens. Confidence can also come from being very naive, right? You just think, yeah, I'll just
right.
put stuff in the ground and it'll grow, you know, it'll be great. So there's an interesting thing that happens throughout the program where they come in with, I guess, unwarranted confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they start learning about all the things you need to know to be a successful farmer, they actually become less confident. I don't know if you see this, Eric.
Sure.
But then, you know, by the end, they have learned those things, and they come out with the confidence, you know, a more well-founded confidence.
Mm-hmm. And now let's talk a little bit about the business training, because obviously, in order to be a successful farmer, not only do you have to have the, if you will, practical field skills, but you also have to have the book smarts, the accounting skills, the marketing skills to get your product out there on the, if you will, the store shelves or at the market. What kind of training is involved in there as well?
In the ag school phase of the program, it's a lot of kind of higher level discussion about how would you market your product, which varieties you would grow and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, Eric mentioned the speaker they brought in who's from one of the major vegetable distributors on the island, things like that. We also have another phase, and I guess Eric, if he hasn't talked about it already, he may touch upon, called Ag Pro.
Coming this fall.
Yeah. And that's like our grad school.
Uh-huh.
And there we really get heavy into the business and, you know, require the students to produce business plans and so forth. But as I mentioned, I'm the director of a program called the Agribusiness Incubator Program, and that provides business consulting to farmers. And so any graduate of any phase of the Go Farm Hawaii program is automatically eligible to be clients of our consulting
mm-hmm.
program, right? I'm the director of both sides, so I can kind of force that to happen. And that's one-on-one consulting, marketing, finance, you know, basically the A to Z of business. So the students are really not on their own.
Now, let me ask you, in regards to looking forward, the future of food on in the islands, It seems that there's been, you know, a recognition that we import way too much, that we have potential to grow more of our own, that there is available resources to do exactly that, and a number of good reasons, whether it's for economic or for just the basic sustainability we want to survive. What does the future look like for GoFarm and farming on in the islands?
You want to take that, Eric, or you want me to?
I think what I see is the future is that.
Hold on, let me just do this because.
Yeah.
Eric, you're going to be in the booth. Stephen, how long do we have with you? Because I'm getting to the top of the hour. I've got to take care of some top of the hour stuff. And if you
let me take a first stab at it then. The future for agriculture in Hawaii, it is trending up. Right, it's changing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole thing that prompted the creation of even the business consulting program that I'm a part of is a change from large-scale plantation agriculture to smaller diversified ag.
Mm-hmm.
And more recently, you know, the past 5-10 years, we've seen not only increasing awareness and interest in you know, let's say a sustainable / organic agriculture, but also consumer preference for it.
Right.
You know, all the trends in this area from the consumer side are supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people are looking for things grown locally. They're looking for things produced in a certain way that's kinder to the environment. And so from that perspective, the smaller farmer will find a market for that because the consumers are changing.
Now, the change that's happening, what's going to facilitate the, if you will, the turning over, the huli of the, if you will, status quo? Or are we just going to be more of this? More training, more young people are going to get into it? Because obviously the majority of farmers in the state are kind of old guys.
Right, and you know, even with the increasing interest in farming, it's not enough to stem the continual aging of farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The aging of farmers really reflects the fact that the younger folks, are not coming into the pipeline at a fast enough rate to replace the folks aging.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a trend that's been continuing over the past 30 years, and even with the recent interest, it hasn't stemmed that trend. But, you know, we are seeing the interest. We think we should capitalize upon that in order to turn that around.
Mm-hmm.
The motivations now are completely different. Right? Folks are getting into it for a lot of community, social, environmental reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so the because the motivations come from a deeper place, I think when we talk about the sustainability of farming, you know, it's not just financial, right? It's not just environmental. We're talking about the sustainability of the people to stick with it because it's difficult. It takes a lot of commitment. And because the motivations are coming from a deeper place, I see that as being a positive and giving me hope that we can turn this around.
Well, there you go. Stephen Chang from Oahu and the GoFarm program, thank you for joining us here on Out of the Box on Kauai Community Radio. Appreciate your time with us.
Mahalo, Stephen.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks
great
so much.
Show. Thank you. Bye.
We'll go out on that positive note for the top of the hour. I want to let you know that you are listening to Kauai Community Radio, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. And this is also going to come down your way just like this.
This is Ron Whaley. KKCR Hanalei and KAQA Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
There you go. Our station and identification stuff has been taken care of. I'm going to do the top of the hour underwriters just like this and say mahalo to the good people at Hawaii Life and Tahiti Nui. Let's see if I get that. And Kauai Compassionate Care for supporting this Out of the Box special.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Right on. Thank you, y'all. And thank you, Kauai Compassion Care, Tahiti Nui, and Hawaii Life for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And we are now in the second hour of the Out of the Box show. I've got a phone call. Person just got on here, wanted to talk story about ag and ag-related stuff. Mahalo's for calling, my friend. You're on the air.
Do I got you?
Aloha.
Aloha.
So do we still have the guys from Go Farm there?
Eric Hansen is still with
How's
us. Stephen Chang is off the line. He's on Oahu, but he's probably not listening now, but he might.
Okay. This is Ida Moon. I'm bringing my business. It's called the Ag Lab Hawaii. Okay. And I'm bringing a progressive agriculture project online, and it covers a lot of the things that they were talking about in Go Farm.
Oh, perfect.
More community farming, and I just wanted to say I think we're all on the same page, and you know the agriculture is coming around and people are interested in it, and I think the days of single entity farming are not really here, and I think you know like I have a plan for community based farming that makes it a commercial venture.
Do you want to share a little bit about the model or?
You know, I'll let people look at the website, which is the Ag Lab Kauai.
That's one long word, the Ag Lab Kauai?
No, just Ag Lab Kauai.
One long word, Ag Lab Kauai.
.com.
Okay.
And it pretty much gives sort of the overall view on that, and interested parties can contact me and get a business plan. But, yeah, everything you're doing, Eric, and all those things, I think those are great as far as, you know, bringing people online.
Yeah, we appreciate that very much, and I really appreciate what you're doing with your Ag Lab, and the more that we can collaborate together as a community with all kinds of projects, is the better how we can live as a society. I think we're all coming to this thought in our lives where we're all looking for healthier options for ourselves, and it starts with building healthy soils, which makes nutritious, healthy, nutrient-dense food, which then builds ourselves to be healthy, which then makes a healthier community. So the more ways that we can all come together here on this island and here in Hawaii at large and as the global community, the better off we will all be, and the more prosperous and happy and joyous we will be. And more
I think you're right. And I also think that I think the agricultural bar is so low on Kauai. I think there's a lot of opportunity when leadership is present. And I think if there's leadership, people will participate.
Mm-hmm. AO, absolutely agreed. We may be not up to as far as we could be in our agricultural production here on this island, but the momentum and the potential is amazingly strong, and I feel like we're almost at that precipice where we're just about to just have that ball roll right downhill, and we're just going to take it all out and start over anew and cultivate what we need to do. And I feel like there's many leaders out there besides myself. There's people like Jimmy out there in the community. There's people at Regenerations. There's people all over the place. Aloma Kauai guys. And we're all in this together. It's a kakou thing. And I ain't going anywhere for a long time. And I know most of us here that are really feeling the cause, we're not going anywhere, and we're just going to build up this momentum and create more farmers and create, Mr. Joseph Dunsmore would say, we're building a culture out of agriculture. And that's really what it's all about. And to look towards the future, we must look towards the past, and our past is in agriculture. So that's where we're heading into the future.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to working with you, and I know the, our paths have crossed before, and we'll cross again soon.
Let's keep the dialogue moving.
And okay. Caller, we would be glad to have you come in as a guest. Your cell phone was breaking up a little bit, but if you would like, you can contact me through the station, 826-7774, or you could take my phone number and we could start a dialogue and get you on the air for a little bit more in-depth discussion about what you've got going and what you see happening in the future for ag and food production here locally. It's a subject that's very important to me. It's one that I've tried to help facilitate a discussion here in the booth and on the air, as well as other places, and would welcome your participation greatly.
Well, thank you very much. I'll start with a dialogue with you.
Right on. And I don't know what's the best way. I can leave a message for you, or I can give you my number now. You tell me.
Sure, you can give me your number.
It's 346-7725.
Okay. First name?
Jimmy. And if you're on Facebook, you're welcome to Facebook me, message me, friend request me, all that good stuff. James Trujillo.
Cool, Jimmy.
Right on. And your name is?
Reach out, and thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for dialing in and participating on our community radio.
Aloha.
We got another caller who's coming on up, so I'm going to drop that and bring this one up. Aloha caller, are you still there?
I'm here, if that's who you're talking to.
Right on. I didn't know if I hit the wrong button, but it sounds like I got the right button.
Okay, well, I'm glad you did.
Right on. And what would you like to share with us, my friend?
Well, actually, I was curious about, I was just starting to Google into the computer about the injection wells on the island, and I hadn't heard hardly anybody talking about it, and the Department of Health didn't seem to want to talk about it, or didn't talk about it when they were over checking out the Mahalapu area over there.
Mm-hmm.
But have you guys seen these things? Are they around and they're just obvious and I don't know about them much? Or?
No, I don't know what an injection well really is, other than I'm thinking it might be some type of waste gets kind of pushed back down below ground so that it doesn't have to be dealt with above ground.
Yeah, essentially that's it. Eric, you know more about it, do you?
Well, there is injection wells, I believe, for hydrology, for gathering water resources out, which I'm not too familiar with. And I do believe that Jimmy, and I don't want to say this because it's beyond my expertise about the possibility of dealing with affluent, but what I do remember from hydrology, my hydrology class way back in the day, which I am not a hydrologist, so I will not claim any expertise on this. I am a agriculturalist, is that injection wells tend to suck up more water out of the aquifer faster. And if I am correct about this, there is an issue with that coming out of the Ko'olau Mountain Range on the central plains, and facing towards the central plains of Oahu. But I really don't know too much about the injection wells issues that we're talking about here on Kauai. Perhaps other people, other Akamai listeners might want to share their mana'o about that at 826-7771. That's 826-7771.
Okay, well, let me mention what I've learned.
Well, there you go. I was just going to ask you. Help us out here. What precipitates this for you?
I guess it was relating to the Mahalapu Dairy area and stuff like that got me stimulated in it. I'd only heard that word maybe twice, and it was kind of tickling in the back of my brain. I thought, I better check this out and see what it is. And as it turns out, it is where the wastewater is dumped. And I believe it's from the cesspool pumping, the porta-potty pumping. I've even heard it, the cruise ships, that they dump a lot of the waste from there, but I'm not sure of that one myself. And they do it in amounts. It's also for the chemicals from the industry that they don't know where else to put them. And I imagine this has been a process going on for a lot of years, and it is condoned by the state and licensed and supposedly inspected regularly by the Department of Health, though it did say that the inspection rate changes different from island to island. But as it turns out, Kauai has got 90 of these underground injection wells going where they're dumping waste and chemicals. There's a map on the internet about it. Oh yeah, we've got 90 here. Oahu's got 160 over on their island as well. And there's, the controversy has become, just recently that, how they thought they were going to work is not working out as well as they, were hoping for anyway. And that leaks are, very common now. And just upon researching it, there are a number of them right above the dairy area over there, or the proposed dairy coming in. And the Department of Health didn't mention, you know, any of their reports. I've never heard anybody even speak about it. But supposedly there is some type of paperwork, I imagine, that could be got a hold of that tells when the last inspection was made and all that. But as far as I've learned, that the inspection is to judge the integrity of the pipes pumping the effluent and chemicals down into the ground. It doesn't talk about what happens to it after it hits into the aquifer, which they say is between a quarter of a mile down and perhaps up to 2 miles deep into the earth, or into dry aquifers is what they're supposedly saying that is where they want to pump it. But it's curious that they're right up there behind Mahalapu area, and it hasn't been mentioned by the Department of Health or anyone else, or it didn't seem like it. There was many people even curious about its involvement in the problem of the Waiopili stream and the wastewater showing up down there. Everybody's kind of scratching their head and saying, well, maybe it's the goats and the rats and wild pigs and stuff in the mountain, but no curiosity, to my knowledge anyway, has been expressed about the potential of these injection wells leaking in that area, or the other, you know, 90 of them on our island here, what the state of them is. And it's similar to what they're doing with fracking in the mainland when they're done of pumping the chemicals back into the ground. And it's showing up in rivers and people's aquifers and that sort of thing. So I think it was something worthy of consideration, or perhaps checking them out. Nobody's ever even talked about them. But isn't that curious? That, I mean, it's where the majority of the waste goes that isn't just going into the ground from people's own cesspools or septic tanks.
Well, I guess that's one of the downsides to our, if you will, lack of infrastructure to treat sewage. So most everybody is not on some type of municipal sewer system. Only few areas of the island have that. And so I guess these injection wells, those are being used by who? Who has access to these injection wells?
I imagine it would be the guys who pump the porta potties and the septic tanks and any other waste facilities such as that, and industrial chemicals is what's listed in on the internet. What else is going down into the ground there? And then I'm not trying to vilify anybody here. I'm sure it's a practice that's been in practice for 50 years, probably more than that, and just the newcomers are coming along, and it's like, okay, this is what you do, and this is how you handle it. But just recently, especially after that long of a period of time, they're discovering that they're having problems with, you know, holding the waste inside of the dry aquifers. They're supposed to be anyway. And it seems like it could be something that's going on in the Mahalapu area, because they can't seem to figure out where the waste is coming from, but there are injection wells on that property.
Right, on that property. I know in the article they mention injection wells in the Poipu Koloa area, and if this is, if like you're saying, suggesting that this is kind of a common way to treat our waste, that area and other places probably on the island have those lava tubes and have, if you will, fractured bedrock that would allow for seepage to occur and for it to enter into the water table or directly onto the reefs or wherever. So it does seem like, you're right, if this is kind of the current practice and there is questions about, well, where is this fecal matter coming from, we should get to the bottom of it. If, according to the article that I read recently in the Garden Island News, I guess the headline says something about bacteria not from human source. Jessica Else is the author of this, that it is coming from somewhere, and we just don't know. And the Department of Health is not really letting too many people know that they've got a problem at the, if you will, areas where people congregate. There's no warning signs. There's no notification. And I'm imagining that's because, you know, they don't want to, if you will, disturb a visitor's experience or, you know, impact negatively with, you know, back to that same issue that the well, folks that do water rescue, they're trying to tell the visitor industry, hey, you got to warn visitors here that our waters are dangerous and people are dying out on the surf. Well, yeah, the visitor industry...
You know, when the Department of Health came over here, I don't believe they did any water samples at all. I actually talked with, what's her name, Leslie Okubo before about that, and she said that that's not part of their kuleana, is to take water samples.
Maybe that's why Surfrider does it, because nobody's doing it, right?
Right. Well, and they say things like, there's no scientific proof available that proves there is any human waste in that water, which is really saying nothing. It's saying that there's no, because they won't listen to Surfrider, because they haven't done it according to their protocol, or they're just trying to say it has no value, what Surfrider is coming up with. Let's see, from that area. What was I going to say then? Yeah. Anyway, it's very curious that nobody is really talking about it or researching it. The Department of Health is the one who is supposed to be inspecting it.
It seems like it would be their kuleana.
Well, yeah, but they didn't mention it at all about when they did their inspection around in that area, that it could have been coming there, or maybe we should check to see if there's a potential leaks. I don't think that their inspections actually are anything other than checking the pressure in the tube that forces the waste into the ground. So it may be very difficult to test as well how this stuff dissipates into the volcanic rock and how it eventually leaches into the sea, or if it is just totally contained. But I imagine if you keep pumping into the same hole for 50 years or something like that, it's going to rise up higher than where it was initially intended to be going, and could be dissipating in other places other than just being held captive inside of an aquifer.
That's right. There is no any away. You know, there is no, you know, mysterious place called away that everything goes when you just throw it there or dump it there. I've got another caller, but I do want to encourage you, if you do more research, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing your mana'o and concerns, if you do any more research and you find some more information out that you would like to share, I'm sure Jonathan Jay on the other Thursdays or Felicia on Tuesdays would welcome your contribution and for you to encourage you to share your mana'o again. So thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Aloha. And I do have another caller. We're going to bring that person on board right now. Aloha, caller. You are live on the air with Brother Eric and Jimmy.
How are you doing today? You having a good day? I'm quiet.
We're doing
blissful.
Good. It's, yeah, I mean, you know, it's cool. It's misty. It's Thursday.
Yeah.
And community radio happening while we speak.
Community radio, and what I want to say is thank you for the last caller, because you brought up a bunch of beautiful issues.
Right.
But I want to put a little bit of visualization in your head right now.
Let's hear it. Listeners, pay attention. Okay. No, that's not a call to
action. Kauai, the island of Kauai, is a sponge that sticks out of the water. All right?
Okay.
If you take and you dump a bit of red liquid on the top of Kauai in the Alakai Swamp, it will eventually seep down and come out through the reefs. It's the way a sponge works. You just drop a drop on it, and it works down through it.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that has ever been put on Kauai is working down through the aquifer, working down through the soil, working down through everything, and eventually making its way to the ocean. All right? So whatever you do on Kauai, whatever happens on Kauai, whatever you dump on the surface of the land is eventually going to percolate down through it. That's the way it works. What's happened in Malahepu is a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What happens through anything that you put on the land is going to percolate down through the land. A lot of people think, hey, I'll spray it on the land, nothing's going to happen, but it's still happening 100 years later after agricultural use on Kauai. And I would like to give a big shout-out to Surf Rider.
Yep, big mahalos to
thank
them.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for watching out for our waters. And with that, I'll let you get back to your regular programming. Thank you.
Well, this is our regular programming, but we thank you for your call. We appreciate the acknowledgement of our community radio doing what our community radio does, engage our community in dialogue. Eric, you got something on the tip of your tongue. I can almost see it.
Tip of my tongue? Oh, my goodness. I think what the caller brought up about the porousness of our soils is something that we have to recognize. When I was doing soil hydrology work on the Big Island, my mentor had kind of said it like this, is that the Hawaiian Island soils is like coffee beans. When you have rain, which we have very frequently, you put enough water through the coffee beans, you no longer have coffee. You just have water. And then it's the same principle in terms of instead of the coffee beans, whether it's affluent or minerals and stuff like that, it all washes away. And so we see this with stuff like arsenic, whether it's naturally in our soils or it's been put in there by previous plantation systems, these things still show up and wash out to the seas. And so we really do need to be conscious about what we're doing. And
conscious.
And, you know, more than any place else on this earth is that Hawaii is literally the most porous geology out there. I don't remember much of geology. It wasn't my degree, but a combination of that and what I do know from my soil science background is that we are like nowhere place on else. We are like no other place on earth, literally. Madam Pele, our natural geology, our geologist, Madam Pele, if you will, creates this super porous structure that literally is like no other place in the world. That's why our volcanic processes, what you see on Big Island, our Madam Pele flows very gently out when the lava flows. Other places in the world, when there's lava going on, it's big explosions, and there's physical reasons for that. And one of the results of why our volcanic processes is that we have what the caller is talking about, and that is these super porous soils that affect everything that comes out of our lands and straight into the oceans and into our rivers. So really appreciate the caller telling us about that, and just hope everyone else does recognize how our footprint really does make affect our community, our lands, and our oceans, which ultimately affect our greater Honua, our Earth,
for future generations,
future
just
and
get
current,
that straight too.
Future and current.
Yes, it's true.
And you know, you gotta think about the future, but also just gotta think about the current, because within, you know, a couple days, even a couple hours sometimes, what happens on this earth and what humans do can totally affect immediately our own personal health and our community's health. So just we really need to be aware of that and just be conscious of what we're doing.
There you go. Being conscious. That's a good thing. I'm being conscious of the time. It is 5:25 on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. In about a half hour or there some, the evolution will be evolving on your community radio. Dove will be in here, and he will be followed by Slim and the Mystery Train pulling in around 8 o'clock, followed by a little bit of that Loco Moco with the Commodore. So keep it tuned here on Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. Got a little bit of the soundboard, couple numbers to play. We'll be right back. The phone lines are open at 826-7771. There we go. Operator standing by, and I'd love to hear your mana'o about whatever's on your mind. We were talking about ag earlier. We were talking about county government earlier. We can talk about the dairy and the report that brother was just talking about. We can mix it up. We can go
joint fact finding.
Brother Josh, are you out there? Are you finding some joints there for us? Some joints and facts all together in a group on Monday. And we'll take your calls, 826-7771. But before we go there, check this out.
Aloha, KKCR Ohana. Kauai Community Radio is constantly evolving. In January, we will begin the 2016 KKCR Strategic Plan, and you are invited. In a series of public meetings, group discussions, collaborative workshops, and awesome station parties, we will review and rededicate ourselves to the future of Kauai Community Radio. Please get involved in the future of your radio station by emailing strategicplan@kkcr.org and stay tuned for more updates about the KKCR Strategic Plan, and mahalo for your participation.
Bingo bango, pickle mango. Thanks for your participation. Appreciate that. I am going to go back to my other side of it and talk story with Brother Merle and his good friend Willie. They're going to be playing one for you from the archives. Oh, you worm farmers out there.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean. And now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath is hard as kerosene. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Sank into your dream. Macho was a bandit boy. His horse was fast as Polly.
There you go, little Poncho and Lefty, Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard for you. On the day after, Merle Haggard moved on to the next dimension. We got a phone call. Another caller. Caller, are you there? Can you hear me? Hello, yeah. Caller. Caller, are you there? I don't know. We might have... caller, are you still there? Yeah, press that one. How about now, caller?
Hello?
Hello.
There we go.
Are you talking into your phone?
Hello?
Caller. Call back, caller. We're not getting a good signal from you or something. I don't know what happened. Yeah. Bingo. All right. We had a caller and wanted to talk about the dairy or alternatives to the dairy. So if you can give us a call back at 826-7771, we'll put you back on up. The dairy being the Friends of Mahalapu's kind of nemesis at the moment.
Yeah.
Do you know much about the issue, Eric?
What I do know about the issue, so for those who don't know, and I'm not the expert here, but There is a proposed dairy that is going to go in the Aupua'a of Mahalulepu, down on the south shore. For those of you who are not familiar with the area, it is one of the few semi-undeveloped areas left on the south shore. Nice dirt road out there. No
bumpy dirt road.
No hotel development. There is on part of that land. The land is owned by Grove Farm, mostly, if not all, I believe. There is some agriculture being done on the area already, mostly in small scale plots. But there is a proposal for a large-scale dairy operation, which many people are concerned about due to the capacity of how much land or how many cows are going to be put on that land. Not that necessarily people are against dairies in general, but the amount of animals that are going on there is beyond the carrying capacity or the amount that the land can handle, supposedly. And so there are issues about affluence and agricultural problems. agricultural problems, etc. So, what we know that people are concerned about is that, amount of, affluent from the cows could greatly affect the stream quality of the area of Mahalulepu and also affect our reefs down, in some of our more wild, beach areas on the south shore of Kauai. Jimmy, do we have someone on the air?
Got a caller on the air.
Okay, so maybe we can have the caller talk a little bit more about the issues. Hello, caller. How are you doing today? We're so glad to have you on air. How's it going? Please share your mana'o with us.
Hi, thank you. Just saying about more of our, on our, like, dairy side, we have a lot of goats here on Kauai. We have a lot of cows here on Kauai. Bringing more of the goat side, because some of us like goats for farming, some of us like goats for kind of eating or whatever, you know. And more of on the side of goat milk or goat cheese, we can have maybe a big thing out here, because we have a lot of goats. I mean, goats are super good, and they eat the grass. They feel they eat everything basically, but they also produce milk, and they also produce cheese, which we can make, right?
So you're advocating for not a cow dairy, but a goat dairy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in this, if you will, in lieu of cows at the Mahalulepu dairy.
True, but like, mm-hmm. like people around in like kind of the outskirts, like Hannah or like Rainiha, like we also have goats too. So definitely coming back to farmers markets and places like that, because I've walked through plenty of farmers markets and I've never seen any goat milk out there or any goat cheese out there.
It's definitely a great market to explore. One of the really nice things about goat milk is that it's actually more closer to humans' milk. So in terms of us processing it and taking it into our bodies, goat's milk is way more beneficial for you, as it's closer to what our mother's milk is.
Anybody can call. True.
Yeah. So it's definitely a great opportunity for people to explore. I used to have some neighbors of mine on the Big Island who would run goats, and they always said they love having goats better than having cows, because so much easier to control a small animal as opposed to a 500 half-ton guy.
Heifer.
Yeah.
And we do have, a big shout out to, our friends at the Wooten Farm and the Wooten Dairy, because they do, Louisa Wooten, her family, they do dairy, cheeses available at farmers markets. I'm not sure exactly all the markets they go to, but, at the Kauai Community College Saturday market, I see them there, and I think they have other presence at other markets. So, just to, share that. There is goat dairy cheese available for folks, but I haven't seen them with goat milk. I think they just use it for cheeses and other kind of spreadables.
One of the things that I do know in the state of Hawaii is that it is not okay to be selling raw unpasteurized milk. So one of the challenges, I guess, for local producers of milk, whether it's goat or cows or whatever, is that you do need to go through a
rather rigorous training and
what
plan.
You call just pasteurization. So I do know that there are people out there that maybe do trades, but no one, as far as I know at the moment, does pasteurized milk.
A commercial action.
But there's always room in the future, and one of the things that I would encourage people to do, especially since we have so many small networks of farmers here, is that we should hooey up together and come up with a collaborative, maybe some kind of co-op model, where if we need to do this pasteurization process, we can all kind of put our financial resources together to be more prosperous farmers. And I think as the farming trend is like what we're seeing in Hawaii is going from large-scale plantation, single monoculture style to more small-scale diversified farming, kind of going back to the older ways. And the only way for the smaller-scale farmers to work to get to prosper is to collaboratively share resources, whether that's, you know, oh, I get one tractor, and oh, this guy get the tiller, whatever. It's, you know, oh, I go borrow the truck lot at. That's really where we need to be going from. So I really encourage you, caller, to keep that dialogue going with diversifying our agricultural endeavors. And it's really important that we do use our resources that are already here. We already, like you said, have a plethora of goats available for us here on Kauai to utilize. And any other creative thoughts like that are always encouraged. And I just want to tell you to just keep thinking strong about different ideas, and the more creative we can be, the better we can survive here on Kauai and be a prosperous island nation.
Righteous.
Yeah.
Righteous. Pawn, as you say.
Right on. Well, we appreciate you calling in, caller, and do you have any other thoughts about anything before we let you go?
Keep growing food, because it's so much better than people growing food for you. And love being outside, and whether it's raining or sunshine, just keep growing food, yeah?
Right on, brother.
Appreciate your mana'o. Aloha.
Aloha.
We got another caller right behind him, and we'll bring this caller right up now. Caller, you are on the air live with Brother Eric and
Brother Jimmy.
Brother Jimmy. Still with us? Hello. Did I get the right button? Oh, wrong button. Here we go. Sorry about that.
Hello?
Hello, hello. We do got you now live on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to say the guy about the goat, it's a good idea. But I would like to see horses out there. They got very, it's a strange milk, but it's one of the best out there for you, actually.
Horse milk. Hey, are you on a speakerphone, or is it possible for you to talk a little bit closer and clearly into your phone?
Yeah, sure, I'll try that.
Oh, that'd
that
be
sounds
great.
Way better.
We got.
I know that horse milk is really good, and it's like a probiotic.
Uh huh.
And also, I've definitely eaten horse dung before, and it's really.
Horse meat's also really good. I had it in Japan.
There we go. I think we lost connection there. There was maybe an inside joke I didn't get, but hey, phone lines are open, 826-7771. If not, 826-7774 to leave a message, because I don't think anybody's answering phones at this time of the day. It is 5:40-something, and we're about to begin the evolution.
The evolution at 6 o'clock with Brother Dove.
And with that, check this out.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
This is Pierce Brosnan. This is Pierce Brosnan. Yes, it is. It's me, KKCR, wishing you a great day.
There you go. Hoping you are having a great day. Phone lines are open, 826-7771. We are at the last quarter hour of this two-hour show. Mahalo's Eric for joining me on this rainy Thursday afternoon. And bringing us in with Stephen Chang. How did you get started with GoFarm?
How did I get started with GoFarm? Well, one day I saw an advertisement for sustainable agricultural instructor at KCC. And I was like, you know, I was encouraged by many of my peers at the time to go apply. Someone told me that I have a lot of agricultural experience, and I was like kind of bashful about it. But I guess thinking about it in retrospect, I've farmed on Big Island, Maui, here on Kauai, and so I went for it. And I really do believe in agriculture. It's in my body. Even when I go take vacation, I go take vacation and work with other farmers, and they're like, people are like, oh, what are you doing? You're working on your vacation? No, farming is kind of an addiction of mine. I feel that, you know, like as many of you feel that, we're on this, verge of dramatic social change, and to bring that forward is that of agriculture, and I want to be a part of that. And so, you know, having a farmer training program where it provides not just hands-on, I mean, not just, you know, the theoretical experience, but the hands-on experience is what it's all about. As someone who's gone to, through the traditional academic, training of things, that's great and all, but really it comes down to getting some real life hands-on experience. And that's what really attracted me to the GoFarm program, is getting that hands-on experience, and me and others that I work with sharing these experiences and allowing others to have that experience, because that's really where it's at. You know, you can read and read and read and watch YouTube videos and read and read and read and watch more videos, but you're never going to know how to farm until you in farm in the first place. And it's been a privilege and an honor to help foster more farmers here on Kauai, and more farmers in Hawaii, and more farmers on this earth. So I'm stoked to just be a part of that. It's a kuleana that you know, I feel has been chosen upon me, and when the kuleana calls you, it's time to take a duty and a call to action. So I take this very seriously, in terms of providing a better future for us here on Kauai, empowering our youth, our kapuna, and making a better future, because it that's where it's all about. And I really do believe we all need to be healthier people in a healthier community, and that starts with building healthy soils, which then build healthy, nutrient-dense, rich foods, which then feed and provide for ourselves.
Well, there you go. If people want to join your growing revolution, how do they become part of that program?
We have a free agricultural seminar coming up on April 20th at KCC from 6 to 8 p.m., where you can sign up for the application and join the program, or you can give me a call at my office at 245-0129, You can also go online to gofarmhawaii.org to get an application. So, or you can email me at ewhansen, that's ewhansen at hawaii.edu. And I will gladly assist you with helping with the registration, which we can't talk about prices on the air, but I do want to let you guys know that it is heavily subsidized through grant, what you call it, grants and stuff like that. So the price that you pay on a weekly basis for 6 months of farm training is way less than you'd spend on putting 2 or 3 gallons of gasoline in your car. And the investment that that comes out to is a lifetime of experiences. And you won't be left empty-handed. You'll always come home with vegetables. And we give you this huge, huge informational resource booklet that's twice the size of the Oahu phone book. So it has everything that you'd ever want to know. And you can always use that as a reference. On top of that, we also provide an online resource website where those who are current students and graduates of the GoFarm program will always have a resource website to access all kinds of things, from videos to other kinds of other types of publication information.
Here we go. Eric, I believe we have a caller. Caller, you are live on the air.
Hi, guys.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you. I just really enjoy listening to you guys and all the programs. And I just wanted to say that my husband and I took the first sustainable farming and gardening class at KCC with Glenn Hans and Paul and Kelly and a bunch of people. And I didn't know how to grow food. And we ended up tearing up a 20 by 30 plot in our front yard at Cape Cod. Just dove in, you know, and I've been working full-time and commuting to Lihue, but I'm still so passionate. I went for rows to raise beds and,
nice,
you know, and our neighbors in Kekaha, so many of them grew up with gardens, you know, and nobody growing food anymore. And little by little, the neighbors are like, hey, you know, I remember, and they'd start putting in few tomatoes or whatever. So it's a positive epidemic, and I encourage everybody to just go for it. Grow some food in your yard. Influence your neighbors. It's awesome.
It is a great endeavor, isn't it?
I love it. That's what I'd rather do all the time.
Right. I mean, I find it to be therapeutic for me personally. I go out and do my, whether it's weeding or turning the compost or just sitting there watching bees buzzing. It is very relaxing and helps me just kind of get a little focused, feel a little grounded, and then can kind of detach from the aina and then go and do my, if you will, stuff during the day.
Yeah, well, there's so many of us that work a lot of jobs and just work, and it's my therapy to go out there. You know, I could never keep up with it, but I do what I can, and it is. It's the therapy I have of being out there and watching things grow, and it's clean food, you know.
Mm-hmm. Clean food.
It's not a clean environment out there, but you do the best you can.
That's absolutely right. You do what you can. No, I really appreciate your sharing that with our listeners. You're, if you will, a graduate of one of KCC's gardening programs, farming programs. You know, Glenn Hans, who recently left this world, you know, was able to plant a seed in many a people's garden because of his vision and his passion and determination to see that Kauai had more food producers, whether it was food that was not taking anywhere off that property, but just consumed there, or if excess was shared or sold, that was even better. But he had a vision that we needed more food production, and I appreciate that you were one of his students and are still doing it, and share that with others.
Yeah, and I met Glenn years ago at the Small Business Development Center. That's how I met him, and he truly was a great man. You know, his vision and his dedication to this island, and you know, I'd like to honor him, and I just sent pictures to his wife of our garden just, you know, letting her know that his legacy lives on.
Oh, right on.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
So thank you, guys.
Thank you. Aloha. Appreciate it. Aloha, and thanks for calling in on your community radio. The station loves you, KKCR. We are at the tail end of our show, and we're here every Thursday. Not me personally, but somebody in this booth will take your phone call or share your concerns. It's a community affairs program. It's one of the, I would say, many. Maybe there's more music, but there are on Saturdays opportunity to share your concerns with Nalea Hawaiian Issues, as well as on our Monday evenings, 5 o'clock with the Monday Mixed Plate, a number of shows, whether it's the Hemp Show or Living Sovereign. I think there is a new show. I wish I had it in my top of the head, but Brother Donovan is doing the last Monday of the month, I believe.
Songs of Sovereignty.
That's a Songs of Sovereignty is a mixed format with music and talk story, Kuka Kuka with Brother Donovan and Sister Kaiulani, as well as Tuesday in the afternoon with Felicia. She will take phone calls and concerns, as well as Brother Paul and the Garden and Back to the Garden, Back to the Farm show with Robin, Wednesdays at noon. A number of opportunities. The Monday midday show is usually a health-related format. So we are trying to offer you guys a plethora of tastes and delights, musical and otherwise. So we thank you for listening to us. The evolution will be happening very shortly. I'm going to go out with another Merle. And the council report from our friend John Gordon. Eric, final word?
Well, mahalo, Brother Jimmy. Just a reminder to you guys that the Go Farm program is starting back up. It's a beautiful farmer training program where you can get hands-on experience in sustainable farming and management of farms. So come check us out on Wednesday, April 20th for a free talk story information session where you can hear from Kauai farmers, former graduates of the Go Farm program, and register for the new program. Check out Go Farm, that's GOFARM, Hawaii.org, all one word, GoFarmHawaii.org. You can give me a call at my office at 245-0129. Send an email at ewhansen, that's ewhansen at hawaii.edu. And again, check us out at gofarmhawaii.org.
There we go. And I would like to let folks know on the east side in the Wailua Kapa area, towards the end of the month, I want to say it's the 28th, it's a Thursday, there will be a all-day workshop that the planning department is going to be hosting, looking at the future of Kapa'a and the regional areas. And I'm sure Felicia or Jonathan will have more information as well. All I know is that it's happening on a Thursday, the last Thursday of the month. I believe it's the 28th, and we'll have some more information about that before it comes up. I am going to mix it up. I'm going to play the council right now, and then we'll go out with the Oki from Skokie. So here you go, John Gordon. Thanks so much. Out of the box. It's been a pleasure. Mahalo, Eric, for joining me.
Mahalo, Brother Jimmy.
And listeners, thanks for calling in and supporting your community radio, the station that loves you, KKCR.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of April 4th. There will be a council meeting at 8:30 on Wednesday, April 6th. The meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here highlights in the agenda. There were submissions at this meeting regarding possible conflicts of interest by council members Chalk, Kaneshiro, Kuali, and Yukamura. The Budget and Finance Committee recommended approval of the police chief's request to build a storage mezzanine for approximately $80,000. The chief of police requests council approval to purchase 25 laptop computers to be used as mobile data terminals at an estimated cost of $75,000. That's $3,000 each. The Director of Planning transmits the Planning Commission's recommendations to amend the county code, adding a new Article 5B to allow for construction of additional rental units in the Lihue Planning District. This is proposed draft bill number 2627. The county attorney requests authorization to spend up to $40,000 for special counsel's continued services provided to the Planning Department for transient vacation rental, appeals, and related matters. The housing director requests approval to spend a United States Department of Housing and Urban Development grant in the amount of $133,000 for the continuation of salaries and fringe benefits for the two Housing Choice Voucher Family Self-Sufficiency Program coordinators to continue this program. The county clerk transmitted four claims against the county. Under committee reports for the Budget and Finance Committee, the Chief of Police requests for an unbudgeted purchase of 15 newly marked Ford Explorer patrol vehicles at an estimated cost of $50,000 to $55,000 for each vehicle for a total of $750,000 to $825,000 was approved. Under resolutions were confirmations of mayor appointment to the Charter Review Commission, Russell Wong, and confirmation of mayor appointment to the Fire Commission, Chad Pacheco. Under bills for first reading is proposed draft bill number 2627 for an ordinance to amend the county code, adding a new article relating to the Lihue Planning District. Bill number 2618 is under bills for the second reading and is a bill for an ordinance amending an ordinance relating to the operating budget of the County of Kauai for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016, revising the amounts estimated in the general fund. That's a Deputy County Attorney, Kauai Police Department legal support in the amount of $30,933, and the Budget and Finance Committee recommended approval on second and final reading. There is a non-public executive session. Purposes for the Office of the County Attorney to brief the Council in matters concerning changing the governmental structure of the County of Kauai from the current system to a council-manager form of government, as well as discussion on the opinion issued by the Office of the County Attorney as it relates to this matter and related matters as well. Also, for the Office of the County Attorney to provide the Council with a briefing on special counsel's continued representation of the Planning Department in TVR appeals and related matters. If the Council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for a public hearing on Bill 2619 for an ordinance amending the county code relating to homestays, restricting homestays to the Vista designation areas in the County of Kauai. And the County of Kauai was the applicant. After the public hearing, the Council will reconvene to complete unfinished business. For more information on meetings or archives, please visit the county's website. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
Aloha, John Gordon. Thanks so much. And it is 6 o'clock. Top of the hour, it says KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. Right here, loving it and living here on the beautiful. Here we go. How's it work? Something like this. Oh, how come I can't find it now? There we go. Hit it.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
Mm-hmm.